Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say to you once again, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Today on the podcast, I'm going to be reading from the heart to you a very important book I wrote several years ago. It's for spiritual seekers. It's entitled Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Terror. Before I do that, though, very important business I want to get out of the way to you this morning as a listener. I need for you to go to my Facebook page. You're going to see several posts about this anti-Semitic movement, destructive, violent movement against Jewish students all across the U.S. on campuses. These are petitions you can sign to alert your congressmen, your elected officials, that these incidents must be stopped. And there are petitions on my page also for the Iranian rapper Tomaj Salehi that my friend Heather and I wrote about in our recent book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. We have followed his case. He was arrested, he was put on death row, he was released, then rearrested, and now he is being executed. He is on death row once again. He is a strong, powerful voice, singing songs, rap songs that are heart-piercing. He is one that supports the woman life and freedom movement in Iran. He is slated for execution. This is heartbreaking and heart-wrenching to watch and hear this. But there are very important petitions that do make a difference on my Facebook page. Please take a moment and sign these petitions and join me in being a voice and pray for Tomaj's freedom. God has done it before, and I believe he will do it again. Now, this morning, I want to talk to us about an issue that is near and dear to my heart, talking to the unchurched, to those people that would probably never think about stepping foot in your church. But the Lord gave me a topic and a book several years ago that I'm now republishing, cleaning up, improving on, and hopefully this will become an audiobook within the next couple of weeks. And it's a book called Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Terror. I want to take you to a condensed version of it this morning, and I want to read to you from the book because that's the best way that you can learn about this book and why it's so important to the spiritual seeker. The great apologist and Oxford teacher C.S. Lewis describes in his inward thirst that all human beings have for something better in life. He calls it a longing. In his classic book, Until We Have Faces, Lewis writes, The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty comes from. Human beings are on a spiritual quest to find satisfaction, an inward longing to discover that something that will bring fulfillment and meaning to their lives. Lewis proclaims that if I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara is a book about this quest. Tara is drawn to the ocean. She has an inner urge of belonging to the high seas. Nothing else will satisfy her. She has a longing that on the ocean, which she calls her world of the wind and waves, that somewhere out there are the answers that she is looking for. In her brokenness and pain, Tara embarks on a solo circumnavigation of the world in her little sailboat, which is called the Mistral Wind. Well, however, this book is much more than just an adventure on the high seas. It's a spiritual journey that all of us have taken at one time or another. Whether it's in a sailboat or a car or climbing up a mountain, we have all at one time answered this inward call to discover our purpose in life, to get the answers to our suffering and pain and misery. So my question to you this morning, Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual Seeker, do you have a longing, a tugging at your heart? Then if you do, come along for the journey. This is a voyage of inward discovery with Tara. Tara got in her sailboat, the Mistral Wind, to answer the inward longing, and the God of irresistible love pursued her all over the world in her tiny little sailboat. Why did she go out there? In my book, I describe Tara on the beach. Her ritual is to walk along the beach and let her bare feet, touch the warm sand and be kissed by the foam of the tide and the waves coming up on the shoreline. And she thinks she sees her brother's sailboat. And she is overwhelmed, because a year earlier, he went on a quest to circumnavigate the world in his sailboat, and he disappeared. There was an emergency call. The Coast Guard responded to his satellite call, but his boat was never found, and he was never found. And this morning, Tara thinks she sees him finally coming home, but it ends up, it's a hallucination. She is traumatized, but that's not all that's going on. She has an inward thirst for something she can't explain. And she's been having these strange dreams about exploring an old lighthouse that you and her brother used to play hide and seek in years ago. And in my book, I describe Tara refurbishing an old open 40 racing boat, getting together with her friends. Now, in my book, her father had died a year after his son disappeared. And so Tara is dealing with the tragedy of her missing brother and her dead father, who was her hero. She is getting in this boat, not just on a quest to go around the world, but she wants to find out what happened to her brother, Nathan. What happened? Why? I need to find out. Well, in her quest and in the book, I describe all of this, this longing, this sailing, this adventure, the storms, being in storms, and of course, a whale almost ramming her sailboat, and pirates also almost kidnapping her. But near the end, there is a 50-foot wave in the Indian Ocean that swallows her alive. And now I want to take you to what I think is the most important, one of the most important chapters in the book for the spiritual seeker. It's entitled The Life Draft. The bright scorching rays of the sun beam down upon Tara's face. Beads of sweat rolled down her cheeks. Her throat was parched and dry. She was extremely thirsty, but there was no water to drink. Tara lay sprawled across a rubber inflatable life raft, aimlessly drifting and bouncing in the choppy waves of the Indian Ocean. Mistral wind was gone, swallowed alive by a 50-foot wave during a violent squall. The last thing Tara remembered was seeing a huge wave, like a giant hand, reach down and squish Mistral Wind. That was the last thing that she remembered. Mistral Wind, the goddess of the ocean, lay deep at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. She was no more. Tara had no feelings left. She was weak, injured, and drifting in and out of consciousness. She couldn't sit up or move her arms. She felt paralyzed, weak, and numb. Her head throbbed with intense pain. She could barely see out of her eyes. All Tara knew is that she had been left to die. She had no food or water. She knew she couldn't last much longer. She had lost track of time. Was it 1 hour? 1 day, 1 week ago, when the big wave hit, there was nothing left to live for. Tara's world of the wind and waves had been cruel to her. She had lost all hope, all desire to live. Now all she was doing was waiting to die. The beads of sweat rolled down her cheeks and into her mouth. Tara began to cough violently, trying to lift up her head, and then the excruciating pain hit. She fell back against the bulge of the inflatable raft. Tara was amazed that she was still alive. She didn't remember getting into the life raft, but now it really didn't matter. It would be just a matter of time before she became shark food. In the distance, she heard the cries of seagulls. But she couldn't turn her head to watch. She was in too much pain. All she could do was listen. She listened to the rhythm of the waves splashing against the rubber left, right left. The bouncing sensation aggravated the scrapes and wounds that were all over her body. Tara slowly tried to open her eyes. Everything was blurry and out of focus. "Help me," Tara muttered to herself, realizing that there was no one around to help her. The Indian Ocean was a vast reservoir of endless water for thousands of miles and no land. Tara was doomed to die. Tears streamed down her face. Her dad had always been there when she scraped her knees after falling off her bicycle, when she cut her finger on a piece of broken glass. Samuel had been there to kiss it and make it all better. "Help me, Dad. Please help me," Tara moaned out loud to herself. Tara could see her father's face now, his smile, his arms of love all around her. Tara began to cough again. She was extremely weak from no food or water. The pain and brokenness was becoming too much to bear. There wasn't anything left to live for. Tara wanted to die. Mistral Wind was dead, and so was she. As Tara's eyes began to roll back in her head, she caught a glimpse of a strange sight. It looked as though a blanket of fog began to roll in and surround her. "Fog? In the middle of the Indian Ocean?" Tara muttered to herself. "It must be hallucinating." Then suddenly, Tara was immersed in the fog. The scorching rays of the sun disappeared. Everything became hauntingly quiet. The choppy, rhythmic sound of the waves ceased. "I must be dying," Tara reasoned within herself. "This what it's like?" All of a sudden, Tara's pain vanished. Her throat was no longer parched and sore and dry. Strength began to return to her injured body. An incredible peace came over Tara, unlike anything she had ever experienced before. She could now move her arms and legs and feel the numbness leave her body. Yet instead of rising up, Tara instead laid completely still. She was engulfed in an aura of peace and tranquility. Am I dead? Tara nervously asked herself. Then suddenly, Tara was blinded by an intense white light. She covered her face with her hands. She could not look, and yet she was not afraid or terrorized. She was instead absorbed by a tranquility and peace that she had never experienced before. As Tara lay back in the life raft with her face covered with her hands, she heard a gentle but authoritative voice speak to her from the blinding light. Tara, relax. You are now safe. The words and the sound of the voice sent chills up and down her spine. Tara couldn't move. The voice calmed her every nerve and fiber of her being. Tara was spellbound by the words and the tone of the voice. Incredibly, the voice sounded just like that of her father. Am I dead? Is that you, Dad? Tara sat up, shaking and trembling. Dad, is that you? Her eyes were blinded by the light. She covered her face with her hands once again and fell back down in the life raft. Tara, don't be afraid. I am the God of the wind and waves. I am the pleasure that you feel when you put your hand to the tiller of your sailboat and set sail. I created you, Tara, to experience this joy. I set you apart to feel the pleasure of this whenever you sail. Tara was shaking and trembling at the words she was hearing, and yet there was such an inner peace and a connection to the sound of the voice. She was no longer battling fear and doubt that this might be hallucination. Instead, her heart and mind was thirsting, was begging to hear more. I have always been there with you, Tara. I was with you when you were born. I held your hand in your darkest hours and comforted you. I was with you when you were lost and afraid as a child, when you played hide and seek at the lighthouse. I was with you when you cut your hand on a broken piece of glass and when your father kissed it to make it feel better. I was with you when you were crushed and broken over your brother's disappearance. I was with you when your father died. I was there to wrap my arms of love around you. Tara was mesmerized by the words of comfort coming from the voice in the blinding light. Awestruck, unable to move, her eyes was flooded with tears. In the midst of total joy, her heart began to feel the bitterness of conviction. She suddenly remembered screaming, "I hate you, God," during the violent squall, and now feeling remorse for what she had said. Yet, as soon as she felt that remorse, Tara experienced an incredible feeling of forgiveness. It felt like a wave washing over her body, saturating her soul and cleansing her of every wrong word or deed that she had ever committed. Tara, I am the God of irresistible love, the voice spoke to her once again. Tara was overwhelmed by what God had just said. She had never known God was a God of love before. In the middle of the Indian Ocean, in a small rubber life raft, Tara was discovering for the first time in her life that God was not angry with her. Instead, God loved her. Tara, you have been running from me like Jonah did, looking for truth in all of the wrong places. You were never satisfied because every well you drank from made you thirsty again. I am the living water that will always satisfy you. I never gave up on you. I knew one day you would recognize that I am the real pleasure, the real treasure and joy that your heart has been searching for. I am life, Tara. I am love. I am everything that you will ever need. Tara couldn't move. She didn't want to move. The words of God radiated through her mind and soul, giving her such pleasure and such joy that she longed and wanted to hear more. She was no longer afraid, no longer empty and confused. She no longer had that longing. Instead, she had an overwhelming feeling of love and acceptance for the first time in her life. She was no longer hungry and thirsty or broken inside. Right now, she felt healed and whole, like an entirely new person, an entirely new woman. There is so much more to this story, but this is a pivotal scene I wrote with the spiritual seeker in mind. You see, that spiritual seeker is longing for something. Something more. The world, the wells they drink from, the career, the jobs, their status in life, their friends, their career, their gifts don't satisfy the longings ultimately. And it took a monstrous 50-foot wave crushing her sailboat to bring this little Jonah to Jesus. I want you to hear a song right now that really describes who God is and who Tara discovered God to be in this life raft. This is Michael W. Smith from Healing Rain. This is called I Am Love. Let's listen.
Our blood fell like rain. I did not bleed in vain. For from my veins, I am love. I am.
What a powerful little song with such rich meaning from Healing Rain. That's Michael W. Smith, I Am Love. This is the God that Kara discovered in the lowest, deepest pit in her life. And isn't it amazing how sometimes the God of irresistible love has to corner us? I think of the book of Hosea, how God pursued his idolatrous children, cornering them in the desert and speaking to them. And this is in a way what God did to Tara. She had previously read a Bible that her best friend gave to her. Of course, she wasn't a Christian then. And she was looking at the book of Jonah and just laughing and mocking how unscientific and ridiculous that was. And yet, the very book that she ridiculed became the real book that she identified with in the middle of the ocean. I hope that if you have someone in your life that's a spiritual seeker, that you would consider getting this book. It's going to be republished and reformatted to look nicer and possibly have an audio book. It's right now up on Amazon in this first edition. It's called Driven by the Wind, the Calling of Tara. I say this to you because every one of us has that one special person that will never walk inside the church we attend, but this might be something that will lead them to a life-transforming relationship with Christ. I know I gave this to one of my coworkers a few years ago, a Muslim woman from Jordan, and gave it to her to read. So I just know that God can use this for his purposes in his providential way. And I hope this morning, just listening to just the God that Tara longed to know, would be the God that your spiritual seeker friend will encounter one day. Hopefully it won't take a catastrophic experience like Tara, but God has an amazing way, as the God of irresistible love, to pursue us all over the world and open up our eyes, our blinded eyes, and reveal himself to us. So I want to thank you this morning for listening. Please go to my Facebook page and sign those petitions. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.